This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here we go. Jake and Josh are here to analyze the game they love for the team they love. This is another Dolphins Podcast. Here's your host, Jake Mendel and Josh House.
When we start looking at the draft and what the Miami Dolphins need to do, the last couple months it was a little awkward, right? The Dolphins had 30 players who were about to be free agents. We didn't know the exact position the team is going to be in. I do think they're working towards that best player available. It seems like every year, mid to late March, we do have that pod where it's like, well, Chris Greer did it. They at least have enough to go through and add whoever they feel is that best player. However, I don't think the Dolphins are there yet, Kat. I'd love to get your thoughts because you mentioned the one thing this team really needs is that physicality, that toughness in the trenches. So far for like the trenches, they've added Aaron Brewer, a 6'1", quote unquote, undersized center. That doesn't really feel like it fits that bill.
Yeah, and look, Aaron Brewer, I don't have a problem with the signing per se. And there weren't a lot of options at center and guard. And, you know, re-signing Connor Williams is still an option for the Dolphins, but it's more of a long-term option. I would like to get him back under contract. I don't care if it's at left guard, at center, what it is. But look, Aaron Brewer is a perfect scheme fit for Mike McDaniel. He's incredibly athletic. He's only 6'1", 290, and he's unbelievable in space. But there's another part of it too, where he allowed the most pressures per drop back last year as any center in the league. So how do you reconcile those two different things? And that's where I get a little bit confused at. So he's somebody that also does have experience at left guard, at right guard. And last year was his first year at center. He also played tackle a few times. So he's incredibly versatile, very athletic. Don't have a problem per se with the signing, but I think another part of it too is this is a draft that is going to be predictably really deep at interior offensive line and actually the entire offensive line deep into the second round where the Dolphins are going to have two picks.
Yeah, things are setting up nicely here. As far as Aaron Brewer, I mean, again, Connor Williams was fine, right? He made a nice transition to center. He was looking really good. I mean, some of those snaps, we want to get those down. But as far as, you know, pass protect, run protect, he's good. So I'd love to bring him back here, you know, have another option at center, let him move to guard, like you mentioned. But as far as Aaron Brewer, you said, you know, he's got that speed to get, you know, out in front of some of these speedy guys that we have, a Devon Achane, a Raheem Mostert, things like that. So you can see where it is. I just don't know the Dolphin fans. It almost seems like they're sitting here chalking this up as a huge win. I see the highlights going around. I think I even probably retweeted him, but you know, he stopped Christian Wilkins. It's actually there, on like two plays, and everyone's just losing their mind. So I'll temper my expectations, but like you mentioned, with the free agents that were available, not knowing whether or not Powers Johnson might fall to you, if that was, you know, one of your options there, bringing Aaron Brewer in, I'm not going to be upset with that. But you definitely have to sit there and wonder, when you mentioned those pressures, you know, giving up those sacks and things like that. I mean, a lot of people are sitting here pointing to the Will Levis and some of the quarterback issues there in Tennessee. It's just as much on the center as well. So it's not a surefire signing. You know, we're not going to sit here and say, okay, the offensive line's fixed, but I'm okay seeing what Aaron Brewer can do after that year he had last season with the Titans.
What are the odds he actually starts week one, would you say, Kat, for Brewer?
Say 90%.
I mean, 90%.
Yeah. Wow. When you give a center $7 million a year and Chris Greer is a GM that's known to give money to players that are kind of either at the back end of their career or are starting to ascend from the previous year. And Brewer is the latter there. So there's an option to move Brewer to left guard or right guard. And that might happen if they're thinking, hey, if Jackson Powers Johnson falls down to 21, maybe you move Brewer to left guard, but I don't think that was their intention. I think their object here was for Brewer to be the opening day center and to go from there.
Interesting. I was kind of under the impression, sniffing around the idea of that maybe I was even willing to go down to like a 65%-ish, and maybe Brewer could be just that 1A backup on the interior of the offensive line despite other issues. I've been wrong multiple times, most times, and I'll probably be wrong here. But yeah, this could be just me hoping they still go with a center and offensive lineman in the first round of the draft. I think that's going to be a need either way. So Robert Hunt out the door. I think Cedric Wilson just signed with the Saints. Braxton Berrios, there's some rumblings about him. But when we speak about, you know, signing an offensive lineman like Aaron Brewer and how it was a no-brainer to kind of lock up someone, how is Kendall Lamb still kind of lurking out there? I thought he'd be someone that a team might tackle early on a 1 or 2 year deal, maybe a little more expensive, just because you saw what he could do when you give him the playing time.
Yeah, and Kendall Lamb played well last year given the opportunity. But there are a lot of tackles out there like Kendall Lamb right now, especially veteran tackles. I mean, you're talking about the most – which is kind of odd. Like Tyron Smith is still out there. Mekhi Becton's still out there. Trent Brown, Josh Jones, Yash Nijman. Those guys are out there too. So it doesn't surprise me that he's there, but you know, given the opportunity, if Kendall Lamb was to come back on minimum contract again, I would certainly welcome that.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
You hear that? Your dog knows. Spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Yeah, a lot of those names, though, I kind of might welcome as just that depth piece, you know, that could maybe fill in there, see, you know, just throw a dart and see what happens. You guys are sitting here talking about the offensive line and how the plan is Aaron Brewer. I agree with you, Kat. I do think he's pretty much going to start for sure. I was just wondering, they draft Powers Johnson. You know, they bring back Connor Williams on a friendly deal. You move Brewer to guard. You have Connor Williams at guard. Then you got Powers Johnson in the middle. I mean, that offensive line is absolutely disgusting, right? I mean, then your offensive line's looking dirty. You got versatile pieces that can, you know, play at center if they're called upon. Obviously, I'm just throwing that out there. But I like the Aaron Brewer signing. I do think he'll start, whether it's at center or guard, but still work that needs to be done. Although it does seem like the Dolphins feel like they can plug and play people at guard. You know, they signed Robert Jones. We got Liam Eikenberg as well. So in Butch Berry, we trust, right? We saw him last year prove a lot of us wrong. You know, we were more worried about the offensive line than they were. I'll sit back and let this thing play out. But decent signing on at center. I just don't know if it's a huge upgrade.
Yeah. So, and one thing, if the question is, what are the odds of Brewer starting? It's 100%. I mean, he's going to start. Well, no, 99.9. If you know, I don't know how sturdy his stairs are, you know, so we'll see on that. But, you know, $7 million a year, you look what the Dolphins have at center or guard, this guy's starting somewhere. No doubt about it. The question is, in a draft that has, you know, uncharacteristically some good centers, you know, Jackson Powers Johnson, Zach Frazier from West Virginia, you know, Graham Barton from Duke, three guys who probably should go in the top, you know, two rounds of the draft. If one of those fall to you, do you end up kicking Brewer to left guard or right guard? That's going to be a interesting conversation if that happens on draft day.
To be fair, I mean, Cedric Wilson was making $7 million to have limited snaps.
Yeah, but then
you need someone to fill that role.
Then right after that, they traded Tyreek Hill. They got Tyreek Hill in a trade. Good for Cedric Wilson too. I mean, he and Tua were never on the same page, just ever. I don't know why, but I think going to another team where he's more of a boundary outside receiver, contested catch guy, I think is a great signing for the Saints. So, but he was never going to work here again.
The other
wasn't
two
the same. I was going to say, it wasn't the same since Tyreek Hill called him Onion Head Set. I think it was all downhill from there.
The only other two signings the Dolphins have made on the offensive side of the ball, Jonnu Smith, Jody Fortson. Jonnu Smith, 2 years, $8.4 million. Jody Fortson, I think it's a 1 year deal. He didn't play last year. He was recovering from injuries. I wrote a story on the Finsider about Fortson, and the only stat that's worth sharing is that, yes, he has 14 receptions over his last 2 years of playing time. Four of them are touchdowns. So, Kat, to me, it sounds like the key of this Miami Dolphins offense taking the next step is locking in and finding that red zone threat in a tight end.
You know, Jody Fortson, funny, I live in St. Louis, and everyone's adopted the Chiefs now as their team ever since the Rams left. And somebody in our office fantasy football league took Jody Fortson in like the last round of the draft, said, this guy is going to be great. And then he comes out in week one. I think he scores two touchdowns. And I was like, oh my God, does this guy know something? And then he got hurt. So I don't have much background in Fortson, but he was a wide receiver coming out of college. And then PFF graded him as a blocking tight end in the 80s in the limited snaps that he had. So when you talk about tight end being a traits-driven position, I like this signing. I think this is a very underrated signing. You know, really on an offense where Julian Hill had 360 snaps last year. I mean, Hill was a rookie undrafted free agent who looks the part, but this guy had 360 snaps. He had six catches, and he fumbled one of them. I mean, so I like that as a developmental tight end. And I think Jonnu Smith is very underrated as a signing. I mean, somebody who at times was featured with the Falcons, even with Bijan Robinson and Drake London there on offense. So I like both of these signings. I think they're clear number two and number three tight ends. Also gives the Dolphins flexibility if they want to cut Durham Smythe, which I wouldn't want, but if they did cut Durham Smythe, that would create some additional cap room if they get in a situation where they need to sign somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, I have no issue with either of these signs. Getting another guy in there to, you know, maybe groom, you mentioned his capabilities as a blocker. I didn't realize he had those two touchdowns. So I bet you were just sitting there thinking this man had a time machine or something. The fact that he came out there and scored two touchdowns. I'm gonna be completely honest. I think I went on there after I was done playing with the kids or something. I thought it said Jody Foster at first. I was like, what are they talking about? As for Jonnu Smith, I mean, you touched on it, man. He is a guy that can be featured. He has that speed. See him with the motion and things like that. I mean, I just finished up watching Jonnu Smith, and I'm excited for what he can bring. Caught 50 of 70 targets, 582 yards, 3 touchdowns last year. Again, John Embry is our tight end coach. So let's see what he can make out of these guys. I do think tight end's going to be our group's going to be better this year than they were last year.
I just nabbed Jonnu Smith in Dynasty. He was a free agent, so I spent one fab on him.
I should have looked. Nice.
Going through this list, Josh, I really like what the Dolphins are doing. And I think, you know, when you look at the roster, it's super important to keep in mind that Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill are going to get so much volume in this entire unit that when you want to bring in a wide receiver three, they need to be fit into a specific skill set. One, they either need to be able to do a front flip while catching a ball like Braxton Berrios, or two, the other option the Dolphins are really going to have to lean into is finding someone who you kind of just accept that, hey, they might not get all this attention for 4, 5, 6 weeks, but just in case a Tyreek Hill or Jaylen Waddle can't go, we can trust them to have 6 or 7 targets. So, Kat, before we wrap up here, I want to ask you, seeing these Dolphins signings, has it adjusted how you feel they'll attack the draft?
Yeah, part of me believes that they've set things up in a way where it's going to be a meat and potatoes type of first and second round on offensive and defensive line. And I did an exercise yesterday where I took 7 top 50 big boards from, you know, kind of the mainstream media guys like Jordan Reed and Field Yates from ESPN and Trevor Sikkema for PFF and few other guys here, nobody too far off the grid, but it basically combined their boards. And of the top 54 players, 18 of them are offensive linemen. So when you think of that, 18 offensive linemen, the top consensus 54, you got to wonder if part of the strategy here was to fill all the other positions and then go offensive line with the first two picks in the draft here to complete the other two spots there. Maybe you come away with a, you know, for example, a Patrick Paul in the second round and a Jackson Powers Johnson in the first round, or, you know, something like that. But it doesn't make a lot of sense of why the Dolphins have completely neglected an offensive line that was so much of the reason why Tua had to get rid of the ball so quickly last year, but they've addressed all the other positions. So that's going to be interesting to see. Do they go offensive line first round or second round, or do they go best player available?
It always seems to me, I mean, every year it kind of you change how you feel. I feel like they go best player available, but we'll see how it ends up. I do think that my opinion stayed the same. I mean, I think we were kind of talking offensive line, you know, I think maybe cornerback. I mean, there's still maybe options that go there. I don't think edge might be on the board anymore as much as we had thought, but every time I think of that, Mike McDaniel, I go back to him saying how that's his favorite position to scout and how he just really won that first round pick. So I don't think it changed too much, but who knows? I mean, I think they'll go best player available. And maybe if a wide receiver were to fall to him, right? We're still sitting here talking about other options on this offense. I mean, could they potentially go wide receiver? I think that's something Kat talked about on a previous pod, some of those names. So yeah, it didn't change my mind, but I do think Chris Greer will go best player available. And let's be honest, they're still not done. This is only, 4 or 5 days into free agency? There's a lot more stuff that's going to happen over the next few weeks.